One of the positives of the current crisis for me has been to see the rainbow symbol being used for something much closer to its original meaning. Way back in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, God told Noah to build a large wooden boat. It was to hold himself, his family, and two of each kind of animal on the face of the earth. God told Noah to build the ark because he was going to make it rain and rain so much that it would flood the whole earth and wash away all that was bad and make the earth clean and good again. Well, people laughed at Noah for building his boat on dry land, but when the flood came, he and his animal and two of every kind of animal were safe from the rising waters. After a long time, the rain stopped, the sun came out and the water began to go down. On dry land, the animals were released and Noah and his family gathered to worship God. And God made them a very special promise. He told them he would never destroy the earth again in order to wash away all that was bad and to make it clean. And as a sign of this promise, he gave them a rainbow. Now that doesn't mean that God wasn't just as upset by the bad and selfish things that people do, because that's not how he made us to be. But rather than destroy the earth and everything in it with flood waters, the Bible tells us that God was going to do something much, much better. He would give us a saviour, and that saviour would be his dearly beloved Son. So a rainbow reminds me that God has promised the world a saviour.
Hi, Joseph.
Mary? Don't worry, I'll try not to wake him up. See, what the people didn't expect is for God's saviour to be born like this, as a little baby in a stable in the most humble of circumstances. Here he is, this tiny baby. He's Jesus. His very name means God's Saviour. In fact, the prophet Isaiah gave him lots of other names as well. He called him Emmanuel, which means God with us. He called him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The Gospel writer John described him as the Word of God. And he said the Word was with God at the beginning, and the Word is God, was God. And that this Word became flesh. So this little baby here in this manger is God himself. God himself made flesh. It's amazing, isn't it? Why do babies always look so cute when they're sleeping? With their arms stretched out. Why do they do that? Anyway, nice to see you, Mary. Joseph, take care. Now, Jesus grew up, and when he reached 30, he started to teach in the wilderness. Very soon, he was doing amazing miracles, calming stormy seas, healing the sick, and even raising the dead. The problem is that despite all of this, very few recognised him as God's saviour, or if they did, they were jealous of him and wanted him dead. John said in chapter 3 of his gospel that the light had come into the world, but the people chose darkness instead of the light. These days, most of us have little awareness of sickness and death. We're protected from it all by the marvellous NHS and all those medical advances that we've seen in recent years. But all that has changed now with COVID-19. Illness and death is becoming a preoccupation with many people. Already, some of you have experienced it firsthand or among relatives or friends. Some of you perhaps work in hospitals or care homes and you see the impacts every day. It's a bit like the rainbow. God promised that he would never destroy our earth again. So this is not some kind of divine punishment. But perhaps God is trying to shake us up a little bit, to get us to think about our own mortality a bit more. Perhaps even to get us to think about our eternity and to remind us that we do need a saviour. Now these things are serious things and we're going to think about them a little bit more after our next song. We need a saviour because we have a problem with our hearts. We have a heart problem. We're selfish and we like to live our lives without God and just as we please, with nobody to tell us what we want to do or what we ought to do. In our church, we talk about sin, S-I-N. We say that stands for shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rule. It's by its very nature, our sin makes us blind. It keeps us in the dark. It makes us think that it isn't very important. So we expect God to put up with our sin. Because, well, we don't see it as a big deal, so why should he? We give God less time than we spend cleaning our teeth in the morning. And we expect him not to be offended by that. We think that God can cope with it. Perhaps that's why coronavirus, in this respect, might be a good thing. Because naturally, our health is a big deal to us. It's really important. The closer we get to death and a sense of mortality, well, perhaps we are more likely to think about our eternity. And the one thing that keeps us out of eternity, which is our heart problem, the problem of sin. Well, coming back to Mark chapter 16 again, these women who got up so early in the morning, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, well, they were all used to dealing with death. They saw it all around them all of the time. But that morning, they allowed themselves to become preoccupied with death. As they walked to the tomb that Sunday morning, they were very weighed down by their problems and the pain of the death that they had witnessed just a couple of days before. You see, they had been there when their friend and teacher, Jesus, had been crucified on a wooden cross just outside Jerusalem. They were there when Jesus was mocked by the crowd. They were there when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Before drawing his last breath and dying. Now they had a job to do, even though it was barely daytime. They wanted to give him a decent funeral. They'd made a start on this on Friday night, but they hadn't had time to finish. They wanted to anoint his body with sweet-smelling perfume that they had brought with them. And as they walked, they talked, and they remembered that the door to the rock cave that was serving as the tomb of Jesus would have been covered over with a very large stone. And they asked themselves, well, who's going to move the stone for us? Because it had been sealed by a Roman guard. They had never managed to do it by themselves. But as they arrived at the tomb, they were shocked to see that the very large stone had already been rolled away. And then they were alarmed when they saw a young man there, dressed all in these white clothes. And white clothes in the Bible normally mean that it's an angel, it's a messenger from heaven. And they were scared because, well, angels usually are a little bit scary. But the women were so preoccupied with death, they still couldn't see what was going on. So even when the angel says to them that Jesus was not in his tomb, he is risen, and they were invited to see the empty tomb and the abandoned grave clothes lying there, neatly stacked by his where his head should have been, they still didn't understand what was going on. The angel told them to tell the disciples and Peter the good news, but they were still too preoccupied by death. Mark tells us that, trembling and bewildered, the women fled from the tomb and said nothing because they were afraid. They were so preoccupied with Jesus' death that they couldn't see that he was now alive. Today, many people continue to be anxious about the wrong thing. Physical death is a terrible thing. It's the pain of separation that it causes is horrible. And it's not surprising that many, many people are anxious about this COVID pandemic. But illness and even death is not the worst thing that can happen to us. It's not the thing that we should be most anxious about. Just imagine that the government announced that this lockdown is going to end, definitely going to end on the 10th of May. And we'll definitely be allowed out of our houses on that date. So in my excitement, I go online and I book a holiday to the Greek islands for 2 weeks of spring sunshine. And every moment I am looking forward to my holiday in the sun, counting down the days until the 10th of May when I would get onto that plane and fly off to Greece. But come the 10th of May, I pack my suitcase and I walk out the front door, and it's a beautiful spring day. The sun is shining, there's a deck chair in my back garden, and I think I'll just sit down here for a little while. And I enjoy it so much that I relax and I fall asleep. I'm asleep for so long that I miss the taxi come to take me to the airport, and then I miss my flight to Greece. So what I've done is I've exchanged 2 weeks on the Greek islands for another 2 weeks of sitting in my back garden. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? And yet that's what many of us do. We're so preoccupied with preserving our present lives, we forget about what's important, the life that follows after death. The Bible says that if we reject God, we reject eternity. The Bible says that even if we try our hardest to improve ourselves and live the very best life that we possibly can, our sin will still blind us to the seriousness of the things that we do wrong. And that's why we need a saviour. We cannot save ourselves. That's why we need Jesus, because he is our saviour. He lived a perfect life. He lived without any sin at all. He never said, "Shove off, God, I'm in charge, no to your rule." In fact, he said quite the opposite to God the Father. He said, "Not my will, but yours." Now that was tough for Jesus, because God's plan for the salvation of the world involved putting all of our sin on to Jesus on the cross. Instead of destroying the world with flood waters, our sin destroyed Jesus' perfect relationship with God his Father. That's why he calls out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because at that moment, Jesus was drowning in our sin. It was destroying him. And he descended with our sin down into hell, taking it back to where it belongs. And in exchange, he offers us his perfect life as a gift. But like all gifts, it has to be accepted. We can't earn heaven with our goodness, but we can receive heaven from Jesus as a gift to us. But like the women, we can easily be anxious about the wrong thing. It's easy to be anxious about this life and the things that threaten this life, like sickness and death. And perhaps COVID-19 has been sent to make us a little bit more anxious about actually what's really important. And what's really important is whether we have received for ourselves God's wonderful gift of eternal life. And so the women were preoccupied with death, but God was preoccupied with life. Where verse 6 says in English, "He is risen," Mark actually wrote, "He is raised." He had been raised by the power of God back from the dead to life, to be with God in glory. Once the women and the other disciples had actually met the risen Lord Jesus, it completely changed their lives, because they saw that it is eternal life that really matters, not this life with its limitations and pain. Eternal life is real. It's like this life, it's a physical, bodily experience, but it's far better. Because God promises us that there'll be no more tears, no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. Because our heart problem will have been solved. Our heart won't be ruled by sin anymore. And Jesus will be in his rightful place as King of our lives. The Gospel writer John tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, says John, but to save it, because Jesus is the Saviour that we need. Jesus dies and has been raised so that we too can live. Every year in autumn, leaves on the trees turn brown. They die and they fall to the ground. So that is at this time of year, new leaves begin to bud on the branches and the leaves grow and the tree is given new life. Like the rainbow, it's a sign that reminds us that we have a saviour. Whilst we are preoccupied with death, perhaps God is preoccupied with life. Let's not be like the women who were too preoccupied to see what was going on. Later on, when they met the risen Lord Jesus for themselves, they believed. Let's take this time, this Easter, to ensure that we do the same. Now I'm going to say a prayer in a moment that will help us to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus for our eternity, the thing that really matters. If you'd like to pray it for yourselves, then please join in with me as I pray. Dear Father God, I am sorry that I have gone my own way, turning my back on you, and living my life just as I choose. Please forgive me for the hurt I have caused, and take away the shame that I feel. Thank you, Jesus, for dying the death that I deserved. I should have listened to you before. I put my faith in you and make you my King. Amen.